right on. I'm glad to see you. Go ahead. Come on in here. I am just ready to get this going. Grab your steel folding chair seat. I'm Michael Modest, and you are listening to Modest Joint, where wrestling is hardcore. I have much love for this business. You know, I went down to the convenience store just a minute ago. I don't know, 30 minutes ago, and I pick up this guy. His name's T-Bone. Normally, I got a few people to choose from, but today it was just T-Bone. So I ask him if he wants to do the disclaimer. He says, yeah, I bring him back here. I give him the $25. I give him a beer. He pops the top open. He goes running out to the curb. He starts pouring the beer all over the curb, man. You know, and I'm like, you know, alcohol abuse. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I see it, I got to call it. I'll call it just like that, you know, every time without fail. So anyways, he's out there pouring the damn beer, and I'm ready to get this thing going, and you're here. So I'm going to have to go get this jackass. No, you're good. You stay right where you are. I'll be right back. Hey, T-Bone, you ready to do this, man? You done pouring that beer out?
Oh, yeah, man. Hold up 1 second, man.
All right. He's on his way. Just have to wait for T-Bone now to start Modest Joint. This is great.
Hey, Modest, what's up, brother?
Not much, T-Bone. We're just, you know, I'm running a little late, brother. I'm trying to get this thing going, and my guest is here. And here you go, dude. That's all you have to do is read that disclaimer. You think you can handle that?
For sure, man. No problem, G-Money. I got it, man. I got your back.
All right, that's great. You got my back. Go ahead and just read your thing, man. Just read it the way I wrote it.
All right, then. Here we go. Hey, now, it's your homeboy from the hood, T-Bone. Ain't nothing but a chicken bone on a string, you know what I'm saying? I do it the way I do, down at the corner store. For really, though, sipping my 40 for 20 p.m. Goddamn, it's cold, I'm gonna do it again. I'm flipping that paper all damn night, smoking and drinking till daylight.
Man, I didn't write any of that. That is not what I wrote. Not at all. You not... Dude, come on, please. I'm going crazy here. Just read it the way I wrote it.
For sure, man. Don't trip. Shit. I got your back. I told you, man. See what you got written down here, sucker. I got this. Peep this, man. Parental discretion advised. Because Modest speaking so candid. Shouts vocab like fuck and damn it. So if you're under 18, turn this shit off. Because reality ain't clean. What you think, man? You like that shit, huh?
I did. I thought that was great. Thank you very much, T-Bone. I will give you a call, brother. Thank you, man.
Peace out, man. Hey, man, have a good show, brother.
Yeah. Faux show, man. Faux show, homeboy. Yeah. Anyways, I think next week I'm just going to read the disclaimer myself because, I don't know. I can't find anybody that just... I don't know, wants to read it the way I wrote it. So, anyways, let's go on with, let's talk about what we got coming up in the show. As always, I'll have my top 10. That will be at the end of the show. I'm not doing emails this week. I have been getting a lot of emails, some of them very, very interesting. So keep them coming. I do appreciate them. And what I'm doing is I'm actually saving the emails. I'd like to do an entire show of nothing but emails. I've been getting great questions, interesting comments, and some of them are funny and very interesting. So I'm going to do a whole show on nothing but emails sometime within the next 2 or 3 weeks, depending on how fast they come in. I will have an ad for a new product called Rat Away. Now, I'm not sure how I feel about this. You know, I'm not big on poisons and things like that. So you'll have to listen to the ad and see what you think about this product. And I don't know. I'm kind of made. You just listen. I am going to talk about the youth movement in sports entertainment today. I'm going to talk about Donovan Morgan, a couple of stories about Donovan, and one in particular with Barry Horowitz. And I will be critiquing Crowbar's Mindbender from last week, which there wasn't a Crowbar's Mindbender from last week, so it should be a fairly quick critique. But first, let's talk about the youth movement. You know, I hear this a lot. People are saying if you're over 25, your reflexes are down, you aren't at your peak. And I say, bullshit. What is happening a lot in sports today is athletes are paid a lot of money, and they're leaving their chosen sport earlier than before. So a lot of people are getting in their head that, well, oh, you know, if you're after you're older than 25, it must be retirement time. No, it's just that you probably have enough money in your pocket to retire, unless you're like me and you don't, and then you keep pursuing your sport. You know, but like everybody's acting like Mike Knox is the new big discovery. You know, Mike Knox, wow, you know, this guy just, wow, he's incredible and this and that. You know, but Mike Knox is no spring chicken. I mean, I was wrestling with Mike Knox over 10 years ago in UPW. And, you know, he's still at the top of his game, even though he's not wet behind the ears. Brett Favre, there's another guy, Dale Earnhardt. Another one. You know, it seems to me veteran athletes that really love their sport, and they're good at it, but they love their sport. They just don't want to give it up. And so they stay in. I mean, guys like Montana, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan. As far as I know, Mike Tyson is a very dangerous person still, especially if you're not wearing ear guards. Yeah, I was watching a match of Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and if you don't know who that is, you should be slapped in the face if you call yourself a wrestling fan and you don't know who the Raging Bull Manny Fernandez is. But Manny Fernandez, I was watching one of his matches earlier, and I thought to myself as I was watching, I thought, wow, look at the stare, look at the glare he's got going across that ring. And the way he was kind of had this athletic stance, like he was ready to go, man, and then he started circling. And I found that I was being drawn in to Manny's match, and he hadn't even locked up. And yet I was already being entertained. And that's something I'd like to see more of in wrestling today. I'd like to see guys that didn't piss away a headlock. You know, grab a headlock and keep it, because it's a devastating hold in its own right. And you don't have to just grab the headlock so that you can conveniently move into a high spot. I mean, guys grab the headlock, and they just start running backwards right away. Oh, man, got a headlock, got to let this go. We need to do a high spot. It's like, slow down, guys. You know, don't piss away the opportunities that you have at the very beginning of the match before you've even locked up to grab the crowd's attention. That's pretty much all I have to say about the youth movement thing. I mean, you know, I'm Michael Modest, and I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life. I've got a 20-year-old girlfriend that agrees. So that's that. Now my critique on Crowbar's Mindbender from last week. As I said, he didn't do one. And for this reason, I ranked it 5 out of 5 stars. I was overjoyed that he didn't clog up the airwaves or take valuable listeners from Who's Slamming Who and sucker them into listening to his segment, thinking that somehow he was going to bend their minds. And they start listening and they go, wow, he's talking about steak and underwear and Star Wars. You know, I don't have the problem that he has with the stains on the underwear. I do pretty good, you know, keeping myself clean. And I have multicolors of underwear, white included. And I just don't have the problem that Crowbar seems to have with stains. But anyways, I wanted to give him kudos for not doing a show. It was a tremendous not waste of my time. And I thought it was the only the right thing to do. And, you know, I'm imagining that Chris Ford, Crowbar, was probably thinking to himself, wow, you know, Mike Modest is so very talented, and he is so incredible, and he's right. I better stop doing this before I make a buffoon out of myself. Or, you know, go ahead and make a buffoon out of myself and realize that's what I'm doing anyways, because that's kind of what I do on my show. All right, now let's get on to my ad. Like I said, I'm not 100% sold on this product. It's called Rat Away, and in just a moment, you're going to hear it. Honey, we've got arena rats again. Yes, arena rats can be a nuisance. They are nasty little creatures that will fulfill just about every one of your sexual desires. Should you be a rock star, athlete, comedian, or evangelist, if you perform at an arena, you may have seen them. Some call them groupies. Others call them stalkers. Some even call them wife. But no matter what you call them, they are still hot-looking rats just wanting to fuck someone worth conversing about. These arena rats frequently spread disease, destroy homes, and suck and chew on things. Protect your family and yourself with Arena Rataway from Parkatol Industries, industry leaders in biochemical warfare, baby food, and toys. Arena Rataway is scientifically proven not only to keep arena rats away, but to eliminate them completely. Its patented two-phase formula has spelled relief for many of today's biggest entertainers. Listen to this testimony from bodybuilder, actor, politician Arnold Schwarzenegger.
This is the governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And yes, I used to have problems with the arena rats too. They were everywhere. At the gym, the bodybuilding competitions, movie sets. Sometimes I would annoyingly bring them back to my hotel. And then I would feel sorry for them, because they have cute little wiggly noses and butts and silicone breasts. I would give them cheese and make them little beds on the floor and these kinds of things. But they would always climb into my bed and do nasty things to my body. Then I met Maria, and she said, Arnold, no more arena rats. I rushed down to the hardware store, and I bought Arena Rat Away, patented two-phase formula. Thank you, Arena Rat. It's easy.
Phase 1. Simply apply Arena Rat's Away's environmentally friendly, highly carcinogenic topical cream to your entire body with easy spread applicator. This genetically designed cream has poverty crystals. As soon as the arena rat licks your skin, the poverty crystals release the odor and flavor of an impoverished man. This will deter even the most voracious of arena rats. Phase 2. Simply treat the arena rat like shit with Arena Rataway's name-calling thesaurus. The name-calling thesaurus makes it easy with a veritable cornucopia of insults ranging from ape face to zebra gums. If you order now, Parkatol will send the book of Yo Mama insults so that just in case the rat is accompanied by her mother, you will be fully prepared to indirectly insult her mama with such greats as, your mama is like a bowling ball. She's picked up, fingered, and thrown in the gutter. You will receive this book, valued at $19.99, absolutely free if you order now. We are so sure that Arena Rat will work for you that if you aren't 100% satisfied, we will just lose your request for a refund and keep your money. Order now with one easy payment of $69.69, plus shipping and handling. So there you go. That's the ad for the new product, Arena Rat. You know, and again, I'm not Arena Rat away. You know, I think it's terrible. You know, it's already an endangered species, at least in the professional wrestling business. I got that idea, actually, for that commercial from a guy named Chico Navarro. And he wrote an email and said that he loved the ad for divorce and that he was a regular user of the divorce product. And he thought that there should be an ad for a company called Arena Rat Away. And the thing is I just simply looked it up on the computer and there it was, Arena Rat Away. Incredible deal, though, $69.69. So anyways, thank you very much, Chico. That was a fun idea. Donovan and Barry Horowitz. Donovan one time went to work this show with Barry Horowitz, some, you know, small indie promoter, did one of those gimmicks where he promoted the show, thought that the name wrestling alone was going to create a huge buzz and that thousands of people were going to show up, and that's how he was going to pay all the boys. So Donovan and Barry get there. They see that the crowd's like 25 to 50 strong, and there's a couple of names on the card. And so Donovan, you know, he's, you know, a little concerned. The promoter walks up to them and starts giving them their finish and playing puppeteer. You know, he wanted to hurry up and tell them what, you know, how they were going to be used and what they were going to do, how long they were going to go, yada, yada. And Donovan says, well, hold on a second, bro. Why don't you pay me first? And the guy says, oh, well, you know, I don't pay anybody until after the match. And Donovan said, well, you're paying me today before the match. And Donovan said, you know, I'm no fucking dummy. You know, I look out there, I see 25 fucking people. I'm not going to go out there and work and then have you try to stiff me. You know, so the guy then cops to Donovan. He says, well, actually, you know, I don't have the money to pay everybody, and I'm going to have a meeting with everybody at the end of the show and ask everybody to take pay cuts, you know. And Donovan's like, you know, kind of the same way that Danny Inferno feels about it. Like, you know, hey, fuck you, bud. You know, if you drew 5,000, I wouldn't be asking for a pay increase. So Donovan just went and grabbed the cash box and busted that damn thing open and took his payday, took him and Barry's payday, and then they didn't work the show, and they ended up just leaving. And so that promoter got what he deserved, in my humble opinion. And the show ended up not coming off. None of the boys worked because everybody found out they weren't going to get paid. But the promoter was trying to save face in front of the 25 family members that had shown up. He still wanted to provide them with entertainment for a wrestling show at the boys' expense. So that guy got what he deserved, but it still sucked because a lot of the boys were out the payday. A quick little side note on Barry Horowitz. Barry Horowitz is an incredible wrestler, and I don't know, you know, I imagine he's still wrestling. He's in tremendous shape still at his age and everything, and I respect the hell out of the guy. But I do have a funny story. When I was working for Urban Wrestling down in Los Angeles, which was a minority-based wrestling promotion that never quite took off the ground. They had a lot of money behind them. I think Russell Simmons had something to do with it, FUBU and a couple other people. Anyways, Barry Horowitz thought, well, shoot, I'm a minority, I'm a Jew. So he thought that maybe they would be interested in booking him. And I thought, well, you know, why not? Give it a shot. You know, maybe he'd be a good heel, you know, a Jew, you know, wrestling in a all-black and Mexican, you know, wrestling promotion. And so, you know, we pitched the idea to the writers and stuff, and I was one of the bookers that thought it was a great idea, but I was only one of several, and everybody else frowned upon the idea, so it didn't go through. But Barry had asked me to give them this videotape, and I said that I would, and then he said that he wanted the videotape back. And I said, well, Barry, I can't do that. I said, if you want me to present the videotape, then I will. But there is no getting it back at that point. You know, these people are busy, and, you know, the favor is on you know, their end. They're doing you a favor looking at your tape. And I said, so you're going to have to just, you know, give up the $5. And so he sent the videotape, and then I had a chance to see him a month later at an APW event up in Vallejo, California. And Barry came up to me and he asked me for the tape. And I said, you know, what do you mean, man? You know, and he says, well, you know, that tape cost me money. You know, it's $5, you know, and I could sell that tape right now probably for 10 with one of the fans or something. Tell them it's a music videotape and this and that, you know, and I can make a little money. And I was like, Barry, are you kidding me, bro? I don't have your fucking tape. This guy gets fucking hot. He gets so red in the fucking face. He's hot, man. He's doing the comeback. He's like pulling the fist down. He's got him doubled up. He's doing the rope-a-dope. I mean, he's ready to fight over this $5 tape. And I told him, I said, well, shit, man, I'll give you the $5 fucking dollars, but I can't get you the tape back. And then he tells me, no, it's the principle. It's the principle of the thing. And I'm like, what the fuck did I do? Trying to help somebody, right? How many times have you done that? You help somebody, and it fucking fires back and hits you right in the left eye. Smack dab in the middle of the cornea. So, I mean, this guy's so damn cheap, he carries a Subway card with him, and every Subway he hits, he asks him, you know, for extra snaps, you know, and that's all he wants to eat is the Subway, at least when I met him. But God bless him in every other way. He's a great athlete and a good guy. Just a little cheap, that's all. But I guess it fits the gimmick that he's trying to do, and I guess he lives the gimmick a little, I don't know. But, you know, my brother Donovan Morgan, man, I love that guy. And, you know, things like that, you know, that's the way I would have handled that indie promoter. You know, I would have saw ahead of the time, you know, ahead of the game. I would have been like, well, wait a minute, there's 25 people here. You know, let me get paid first. So I love the guy. You know, he's sour and he's pissed at this business. You know, Noah's decision to leave us for ROH and the jabron that, you know, overpaid them quite a bit. That pissed him off. The TNA tryout that we had. We were told the Border Patrol gimmick was too gimmicky. What the fuck? Too gimmicky in this business? Please. So, in typical Donovan style, he said, fuck this business. Fuck TNA, fuck WWE, fuck Noah, fuck ROH, fuck everybody and everything. Now he makes like $6,000 to $10,000 a month selling insurance in Florida. He's living a good life. He's got a nice house with an indoor-outdoor pool, drives a nice sports car. He's making good money. Here's a kid who is a straight hustler, man. Ran APW for 6 years while Roland called in from home, sitting on his leather sofa, asking if payments were being turned in on time. Meanwhile, Donovan was the hustler. Donovan was the one bringing in the cash. So much so that Rob Black from XPW tried to actually steal Donovan just as office, not even, you know, for the wrestling that he could do for XPW. He wanted him just for the office. This is one of the areas I really think the wrestling business missed out on with this kid. This guy can make money in whatever he does because he's that fucking good and he's that much of a hustler. That's how much drive he has. And so I feel sorry for the wrestling business. They lost a great talent in Donovan Morgan, not only in the ring, but mostly in the office, actually. I trained Donovan to believe that anything was possible, not just in pro wrestling, but in life in general. Anything is possible. So when he met too much resistance in the wrestling business, after 5 years in Noah, he felt like he deserved some respect, and I agree. He simply applied his hustle elsewhere. It's like in Wall Street. Donovan just took his assets and moved it all to another industry. Me, I don't get pissed. I just keep chasing my mistress. Her name is Pro Wrestling, and she's a fickle bitch. Michael Porter said something on Michael Porter's WrestleShoot interview that I did. He said, "You're only as good as your current gig in this business." And it's true. However, Michael Modest has diversified his assets as well. I didn't move them all. I got big dreams, people. My dreams are my reality. Everything I've ever wanted or pursued in this business, I've had to work for. But it's always ended in success for me. Life is but a dream, Danny. So dream big, brother. Dream big. And that's a shout out to Danny Inferno. Gosh, I hope it wasn't Judas Young that said that. Anyways, one of the two said that on their last segment. I think it was Danny Inferno. And I was like, yeah, man, life is but a dream, brother. Dream big and grab it. Make it what you want it to be. So check it out, man. Come see Michael Modest December 14th at the Fat Cat in Modesto, California against Rick Luxury, Gangrel. The Ballard Brothers will be on that card. Bobby Hart and his beautiful valet, Holly Renee, will be there, man. December 14th. That's the Fat Cat in Modesto. Now it is time for my top 10, and you can hear my voice is struggling. I'm having a rough time with the voice. I think I'm catching a cold or some shit. So here we go. Top 10. This is the top 10 reasons I think that the U.S. government should protect arena rat populations in our country. Again, the top 10 reasons the government should protect arena rats today in our country. Number 10. The fact that arena rats spread disease is blown out of proportion. As long as you use latex protection, they are like, I don't know, 90% effective against the spread of disease from arena rats. So they're not as dangerous as people would have you believe. Number 9, the rat population has declined in at least pro wrestling. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, number nine. The rat population has declined in at least pro wrestling from 499,000 in 1970 to 197 now in 2008. Guys, numbers are down. The government has to protect the arena rats. Number eight. They are adorable and cute. Yes, that is reason enough, I think, for the government to protect these endangered creatures. Number seven, they relieve stress. Yes, just like cats and dogs and, you know, arena rats are no different. They relieve stress. They're good for you. Number six, when trained right, they can be very helpful. See, again, another valuable reason to keep arena rats from becoming extinct. Number five, who will go and get hot dogs and beer for the boys or entertainers, right? I mean, if all the arena rats are extinct, who the hell will go do that for the guys? Number four reason that the government should protect arena rats, the stories, great tales of adventure and conquest for wrestlers and performers alike. You know, have you read the Motley Crue book? Oh, it's fabulous. Great book. And the stories of the arena rats are great. Number three, names like Candy, Desire, and Cinnamon will only belong to strippers and porn stars. True. That, you know, and I don't want to see that happen. I mean, those are great names, and they're great names for strippers and porn stars. But, I, you know, sometimes I just want to meet the girl next door who happens to be an arena rat, and maybe she has the name Candy, Desire, or Cinnamon. And the number two reason the government should protect arena rats, no more tit flashing in the crowd. That's sad stuff. If they're not around, you just will never see that again. And the number one reason I think the government should protect the endangered species of arena rat, because they are fun. Just that simple. They are lots of fun. And I'll tell you, hold on a second. I'm getting kind of choked up, you know, through the mistreatment of the arena rat. These beautiful creatures are vanishing. It's a vanishing species in the sport entertainment industry. Now, if you're a wrestler and you get a chance to meet a wonderful little rat, treat her kindly. You know, appreciate her for her adventurous soul. And then release her back into the wild, unharmed, so that she may bring happiness to another. You know what I'm saying? Save them before it's too late. This has been your host, Mike Modest, saying I love arena rats more than ever. Why? Because arena rats are hardcore. Peace.